Say you're sorry.
I'm
so sorry.
I come over there and make it better.
Yeah, I come over there. I'm going to go to Alabama. I got to go skip Barber first, but then I'm going to come over.
I'm going to go to skip Barber.
I say, I'm so sorry.
I'm going to go shop at the Concord Mill, go into the Bass Pro Shop, pick up a new hanger stand, and then I'm going to come over there and help.
Right.
What do you think? Did he get him? I mean, of all things to say.
What? What?
Family picnic sometimes. Gives you more than just a potato salad.
Are you kidding me, Mike?
Oh, my God. That is hilarious.
Hey, everybody, it's Dale Jr. back again for another episode of the Dale Jr. Download with my co-host Mike Davis. We are in the Bojangles studio. In front of us are the Lionel Diecasts. Hey, Mike, I noticed we have two of the same. You know that one they gave me for the 75th greatest drivers?
I remember that.
We now have two of those up here.
Wow. How did we do that?
A little repetitive. I like the one that they gave me for being one of the 75 greatest drivers of all time. Yeah. That one is just a normal one, but this one is because of being the 75 greatest drivers of all time.
This is the real car. That's the show car.
Yep. One represents being the 75 greatest drivers of all time. One is just a regular diecast, even though they look the same.
Well, hard as long as you know which one is which, I guess that's all that matters.
Hard to tell the difference.
Hey, you just really wanted to talk about being the 75 drivers of all time.
Hey, at Darlington, they sent me an invite. We're going to Darlington.
What are you going to do?
Mother's Day.
Yeah.
So, got to do something special the day before for my wife.
Yes, you do.
And then I get to go to Darlington on her day.
There you go.
And we're going to have a lot of fun. A bunch of drivers will be there, also being celebrated. I think we're given the command to start the engines. I can't wait.
Yeah, start warming up those
vocal
cords.
It's perfect, man, because I don't like being like the one person in the room doing the one thing. But when it's a group, so much fun. So
you'd have been good in a choir, but not doing a solo.
That's right. You said it. So anyways, man, Denny Hamlin came up with this amazing idea. Right off the top of the show, we're going to talk about this. I love this idea. And I think it's going to catch on like wildfire, out of control. Do you have a firm grasp on this, Mike? Because this shit's about to go off.
Oh, no, I don't have a firm grasp on it. Help me.
I'm telling you, man, what Denny Hamlin's created this thing called a bracket challenge. He talked about it on his social media, and now it's going to become a reality. It starts today.
Today.
All right, at 10 a.m.
That's right. So if you're listening to this on the podcast, which I hope you are.
It's happening.
It's already happened. You got to go. Sign up now.
Yeah. So it cuts off right before the start of the race on Sunday at Kansas, all right?
That's right.
All right. But this is going to, you know, repeat. This is a 5-week bracket. How long is the bracket?
5 weeks.
Okay.
The bracket, not counting the All-Star race.
Okay. The bracket is 5 weeks, and then it reboots.
Well, that's up to us. Let's see how it goes.
Certainly.
Would you like to? Yeah, let's see if it catches on.
Mike.
Hey, listen, this is in the hands of the listeners, hands of the fans.
Let me just tell you, you don't have to worry about it.
Okay.
This is going to be very popular.
Okay.
Man, I'm just telling you, this is going to blow up.
This is going to be fun. Listen.
Everybody's going to be doing this. This is going to be the new way that people entertain themselves through the regular season.
That's
right. A regular season that is, because of the playoffs, lost a little luster, right? This is going to be a way to infuse some awesome energy for fans and people that follow the sport. And I think just filling mine out was fun. And it was easy. And
you
it was quick.
Out.
I filled one out easy and quick. Mike, this is at Junior Motorsports. Where is this?
Dirty Mo Media. DirtyMoMedia.com/bracket challenge. DirtyMoMedia.com. If you just go to DirtyMoMedia.com, you will find your way to the bracket challenge.
Why didn't you just do /bracket? Why did you change? Why did you name it bracket challenge? That's just more to type.
Well, you know what? I don't know, Dale.
Oh,
I didn't really
it's
go
hard
put
to
that
name
much.
Y'all should have had me in the room when y'all were talking about this.
Should have.
Yeah.
You know what?
Look.
Bracket challenge.
Hey, I went on the website to fill out my bracket. I'm starting to try to fill this son of a bitch out, and it ain't working. Mike's like, you got to hit this button. What's the button you got to hit? What's it say?
It's been fixed now. It's not even worth bringing up. It's been fixed.
Wait.
You got to listen. To enter the bracket, you have to click an orange button. It says orange button. It says click this to enter the bracket. Nobody else in the history, including Dalton Greco's dad, who is quite capable of missing the orange button, he even saw the orange button. There's one person on the planet that did not see the orange button. Went right to the bracket.
Yeah.
You.
Well, I was so eager to play this new bracket challenge that Denny Hamlin has dreamed up in his sleep that I opened it up on my iPad, and that big orange button is really small on an iPad. Now, you playing this shit on your phone, it's a giant-ass orange button. But when you open it up on your iPad, it's tiny, man. And I was so eager. I skipped right past that mug, and I went right to the bracket.
Hey, Tiff, am I wrong or am I right when I said I texted you and I said, let's get on a call. We have found somebody that missed the orange button.
Yeah.
Guess who it is? Dale
You damn
Jr.
Right.
But that's okay. We got it fixed. Listen, you got this is the thing I want people to understand. Yes, it's just like March Madness. You cannot submit a bracket for this particular contest after the first race starts. So you've got this week. This week, this is it. Starting right now to the end or till Sunday when the race starts, it is closed off. The people that have submitted a bracket, you are in the contest, and there are some cool prizes to win. We're giving away a lot of stuff here. And so, and it's not just to one person, and it's a you accumulate points based off your picks. It's just like March Madness, but this is for 5 weeks starting with Kansas. So you got to enter this week, and Dale, you've entered. You
hey,
can't win.
Hey, what I'm hearing from you is I can too win.
No, you cannot.
Bullshit.
You haven't seen the rules.
You tricked me, man. I wouldn't have filled that shit out if y'all didn't know I couldn't win.
Well,
that kind
you
of bullshit is this?
Neither can I.
Man, what? I'm going on a cussing tirade.
Yes, you are.
I am angry.
Wow. Yeah, you can't win.
I'm angry about that.
But I do.
That's bullshit. So, so as we're playing, I'm not going to see my name at the top of the list?
That's not true. You can. If you can accumulate points and everything. You just cannot
win the prize.
Receive the prizes.
Oh, okay, fine. Who gets it second? Who's going to get
it
this time?
Are you predicting a win
Who's
already?
Who's going to get it?
God.
Second place?
Why do you? Who did you pick to
I'm
win?
Just saying, in the event that I win, who is getting the freaking prize, Mike?
Tiff,
people
it,
want to know.
Explain
the
it to
the
us.
Listeners are dying to hear this answer.
Tiff, you help us out here. You're going to be the adult.
Somebody's got to be. This is morning's going off the rails.
Oh, it is not.
It kind of is. Okay. All right, so... Let's step back for a minute. We've got a $500. We have a $500 grand prize up for grabs. So it's a $250 gift card to NASCAR.com Superstore and $250 prize pack that has some awesome Dirty Mo Media gear and some Denny Hamlin gear. Some of it's going to be signed by Denny. Some of it's signed by Dale. And then we're giving 11 additional winners a hat signed by Denny and Dale.
And the reason for the $250 gift card for the NASCAR, we just don't want Denny fans or Dale fans to enter the contest. I mean, you can be a Chase Elliott fan, and there's plenty of reason to enter and try to win.
I'm a William Byron fan.
All right, William Byron
fan. That's who's winning my
That's who you got?
That's who's taking me to the house.
All right, William Byron.
We're going to the top.
Who was in your final? Who did Willie beat?
Willie and Chastain.
Oh, Chastain.
Yeah.
Say you're sorry.
I'm
so sorry.
I come over there and make it better.
Yeah, I come over there. I'm going to go to Alabama. I got to go Skip Barber first, but then I'm going to come over.
I'm going to go to Skip Barber.
I say, I'm so sorry.
What a random.
I know, right?
I'm going to go over to, I'm going to go get me a Big Mac, and then I'll be over there.
Right, right. No.
I'm going to go shop at the Concord Meal, go into the Bass Pro Shop, pick up a new hanger stand, and then I'm going to come over here and help.
Right. I got to go pick up some laundry first, and then, after that, I got to, yeah.
Oh, man.
He don't have enough miles in his vehicle to go say I'm sorry and make visitations to everybody that he has wrecked.
Anyway, all right,
yeah,
so the bracket, y'all, the bracket, this is going to be fun, and I predict that this bracket idea is going to be bigger than everybody realizes, because I'm telling you, man, I'm kind of pumped. It's a way. So NASCAR has struggled, in my mind, to really grasp or get a hold of the fantasy aspect of our sport. Now, there's multiple ways to play fantasy in NASCAR, right? There's legal betting on certain websites. You can go. I'm part of the NBC League on NASCAR.com, where we pick our five drivers and a guy in a garage every week, and it's fun. It is a good time, but I don't know that it's been done as successfully as we see in other sports. I don't know that it's caught on with our listener base at such a massive level, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think this bracket challenge, man, could be really fun, because now at this race next week at Kansas, man, I'm going to be watching all of these battles between different drivers to see, hey, man, am I winning across the board, right?
Yeah.
I sent you my bracket, Mike.
You did. Yes, you did.
And so This is going to be fun. And as it whittles through the weeks, right, it's only 5 weeks, and we'll reboot it and have another bracket. I'm certain we will. It gets easier because you have less brackets as you're whittling it down to, finally, in the fifth week, a battle amongst just two drivers.
That's right.
And I did not, you know, obviously you don't sit out there and go, okay, I'm going to run Willie B all the way to the finals, and I'm running Chastain all the way to finals. I just literally went, well, I think that driver can beat that driver.
That's right.
I think that driver can beat that driver. And that's what happened.
Specifically at those racetracks. Like, you know, you got Allmendinger in there. But if he's not at a road course, I'm going to probably pick, you know, whoever he's going against. They're seeded based off points.
You just threw Allmendinger under the freaking bus.
I'm sorry. I filled out a bracket, too.
Mike went hard to the paint over Allmendinger, man. Woo, man, I hope you don't hear that.
I hope he does. I hope he does.
All right, let's move on. Hey, I got to go to the Kentucky Derby this weekend.
Okay.
I am really I'm nervous. You know why?
No, I tell us.
Well, I'm going Rhett's not going with me.
No, last Rhett's not
this
going.
Will be my third year.
Yeah.
Last 2 years I've done it with Rhett. I got to go. I'm going to the Derby. They got me doing probably 4 or 5 hits throughout the show. And I wrote some notes down here before I go to the Derby. I got my clothes ready.
Oh,
thanks,
okay.
Thanks
good.
To Amy. I got a little stain on my pants I got to work on. There's some kind of I think I wore these last year, actually. And there's this little thing right above the knee. Got to work on that.
Okay, good.
Got to get my neck trimmed.
Yeah, yeah.
Clean that up, right?
Can't be looking rough.
Might whiten my teeth a little bit.
No, brush them even.
I brush them.
Oh, got it.
Twice a day. Yeah. And I got to remember to take my ears.
To do what?
My earbuds.
Take your earbuds.
My earbuds, yeah.
That's right, because you don't want to use somebody else's.
Well, if you don't bring your own, they have they have a pair. You don't know where they've been. But one of the cool things that I'm excited about for this Derby, you know, with Rhett, usually me and him are running around doing, you know, just trying to find fun things to check out, right? And I've really enjoyed that. But I leave there with a lot of questions about, like, man, what is the jockey thinking? What is important that happens that day? You know, for example, when they go into the gate, right, get the horses into the gate. Well, there's always that one horse that kind of struggles at the end to get in there. It's delaying the start of the race just momentarily. So is the guy that got in there first a little annoyed about that, or is that okay? Is his horse, is that changed the mental approach of the horse at all, that he's standing there waiting on this last horse? Is the fact that the last horse is struggling a good thing, bad thing, not a big deal, whatever?
For that horse, yeah. Is he going to be fast?
We don't know, right?
Yeah.
So is the jockey like, this is not a good, this
right.
is not good? Or, I want to be last.
He's wound up.
Yeah, hell yep. yeah. This
and
is awesome.
Yeah.
So anyways, I got to talk to Jerry Bailey, one of the most, if not the most successful jockey in the last several decades. Dude's incredible. He's part of the NBC team. And I got to ask him a lot of questions. He came over to the Western town. We sat down, and I got to sit with him, talk to him for about an hour. We're going to show about two and a half minutes of that on the Derby. But you can see the full interview on some of NBC's social stuff and on their websites and whatnot. But anyways, I get to go into the jockey's room. I went in there last year, but I was watching a video on YouTube, and they have a closet back there that has all of the jerseys. I mean, it is 2,000 jerseys. You know these things are really colorful and unique, right? The jerseys,
yeah.
right? The silks, as they call them. This room is full of them things. And they have a sauna in the back. And Jerry says that when he gets to the racetrack, the first thing that he does when he gets to the racetrack, the first thing he does that morning is get on a scale. And then he goes to the sauna. And he sits in there for 30 minutes or more to lose 1.5 to 2 pounds. And he says he almost has to get in that sauna just about every day he races.
To cut weight.
Yeah, just to lose a pound or two. And so, and he says, man, he's weighing himself all day long. He doesn't eat hardly anything, maybe a little fruit. Pretty incredible. And these, you know, one of the other things that I'll talk about this on the Derby, but some of those guys, most of the guys that are racing in the Derby are going to run a half a dozen to a dozen races that day. Different horses.
That's right.
That's crazy to me.
Right, right.
So, that's crazy to me.
They get hired by these horse owners to run the horse. Yeah.
I was thinking that if I got a horse that's getting ready to run a Derby for $3 million, and I've been working on this horse for 2-3 years to get here, and this is our day, my damn jockey ain't gonna be riding no other horses and doing other shit. Like, but, you know, they do. I never thought that jockeys that rode in the Kentucky Derby did anything but that day. But they're riding all kinds of races, which is probably great because they're learning the track, understanding the conditions, getting a little bit, you know, getting loosened up. Maybe in a way how running the Xfinity race or truck race might help a cup driver. Oh, boy, I couldn't believe that, though, man. They run like 9, 12 races that day.
Right, right.
Two.
Yeah, it's full day.
I know, but the Derby is so important and so much on the line. It surprises me that the trainers and owners of the Derby horses are good with that.
Well, the trainers, and certainly on the trainers, I don't know about the owners, but the trainers are probably training horses all the way through those races.
Yeah.
You know, they got a bunch of horses they train.
Yeah. But I'm looking forward to that. They're going to let me do a little more, instead of sort of our traditional stuff that me and Rutt would do, they're going to get me a little more inside baseball.
That's what I'm looking forward to. Yeah.
The one thing, though, is, man, it's so intimidating. Everybody that's on the NBC team that's there, they know so much about it. And I am, like, one of the people that know the least about it. Right? Admittedly, I'm fish out of water. And so, you know, it's tough to bring anything unique to the broadcast because everybody there is so, so damn knowledgeable. But anyways, I'm looking forward to it. Going to be doing the Derby this weekend. I kind of like it because it feels like I'm getting back to work, getting back into the NBC thing. I'm excited about getting back in the booth here in a couple weeks. We'll be back in the booth at Nashville at the end of June for the NASCAR, for the cup races.
Are you going to the Indy 500?
Yeah, I was just going to say, in between that, we're doing the Indy 500, I believe. I'm sure going to be there.
The Dale Jr. Download is brought to you by ZipRecruiter.
You going to any concerts this summer, man?
I am. I'm seeing a concert in June. Hardy and Kip Moore.
Love Hardy.
In Charlotte. I was so stressed getting the tickets. I'm going to be front row. I'm in the pit. When these tickets go out, man, I am online as soon as tickets open. I don't want to miss a thing.
Yeah, you know, you got to act quick.
Yes.
And when you want the best, you have to act quickly or someone else will get it instead. It's like if you're hiring for a business, you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. Mm. So what's the best way to do that? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast, and right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Dale Jr.
ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Dale Jr. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/Dale Jr. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Hey, Mike, I wanted to talk about something you might not be ready for me to discuss on this show. I came to you with an idea of a really, really cool show. And I came to you with this idea, and I want to tell people about it. We're not going to dive into it too deep, but I just want to give people an idea so they can anticipate, get excited.
Okay.
All right. I came to you with this idea. When my grandmother passed away, my aunt and most of the family was kind of going through the house, seeing some, you know, seeing what was, you know, shoved under beds and in closets and here and there, right? My aunt Kay found these 2 scrapbooks loaded with news articles that she put together during my dad's rookie year in 1979 and in 1980. So she's literally, like, every day if she found an article, she actively searching articles in the local papers and so forth about dad's seasons as a rookie in the cup level. He's not the 7-time champion. He's not the intimidator. He's just this brash, raw, flawed rookie driver and just getting his big break. And she really, this thing, these books document that season. Now, you know, you can go and find information about dad's career and how he did that year. And we all know who dad is. But one thing that I love about these articles is they're full of quotes. And it's dad talking about what kind of nickname he'd like to have. You know, they called Darrell Waltrip Jaws. And they said, man, you know, Darrell is Jaws. What do you want to be? You know, he would become the intimidator. Would become one of the biggest icons in the sport. But we get to hear this guy you know, blush and talk about, oh man, you know, if I was Jaws 2, I would that'd be good enough for me. There's just a bunch of great little content there, and I came to you with the idea about putting together a mini series, if you will, a short multiple episode series about that season, the 79 season and the 80 season. We're already actively working on that.
Yep.
I want everybody to know about that.
Yep.
We don't have a title for it yet, but you're going to love this. I'm going to narrate all – we're going to get together, me and you, Bobby Marcos. We're all going to write a script that I'll loosely follow and narrate this season.
Yep, based off of all the scraps, all the newspaper clippings, and also – a lot of other little things that you and Bobby are uncovering that we don't even know about, and it's fun. It's fun.
It is fun. I think it'll be a great way for if you want to sit down and listen to a couple of hour and a half, 2 hour episodes in a 3-4 part series and really get a deep dive into the 1979 season. And it's going to be not just Dad, you know, this is when David Pearson and Wood Brothers busted up after the Darlington mistake on pit road. We had the Daytona 500 with the fight.
Yep.
Kel Yarborough, Bobby Allison, Donnie Allison. We're going to cover a lot of that, and it'll be fun just to see the reception that this gets. I'm excited about it, and can't wait to start, you know, telling people more about it and finally, you know, putting it out there. But we're going to work on this. We're going to get it right. We're going to do it well, and what you hear, I believe you're going to love. Did I hear that this month – let me go look here. I saw something on NASCAR's feed, National's Mental Health Awareness.
Oh, yeah, and it's like Mental Health Month.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, I really like that NASCAR is bringing some shining a spotlight on that. Mental health is really, really important. And I just wanted to take a quick second to – I'm an analogy – type person, Mike. Here we go. NASCAR recognizes the month of May as Mental Health Awareness Month. Throughout the month and every day, NASCAR aims to educate, provide support, and fight the stigma surrounding mental health. So I am an analogy kind of person, right? I always use analogies, and sometimes for better or worse, they're good, they're bad. I always, you know, as a mechanic at a dealership, you'd bring your car in, I'd service your car. You'd need oil changes. You don't service this car, your car's going to break down. If you don't change the oil, you don't do regular service on your transmission and so forth, it's going to give you problems. And sometimes your car breaks. Sometimes your car has a problem, and you bring it to the service mechanic, and he takes care of it. That's the way I look at therapy, right? I've taken therapy multiple times for different reasons throughout my life, and I look at that as sort of getting a service.
Mm-hmm.
Of my mental health, right? And me and Amy have you know, working on our own relationship, have had to seek out that type of help in the past, and it's been extremely helpful to both of us. So, you know, helping me understand as a man how to be a great husband, how to be a great father. But anyways, I think I'm so proud of NASCAR for being able to to put that tweet out and shine a light on what this month's all about. And, you know, if you're having some difficulties, if you're having a hard time getting your thoughts together, I truly believe that there's somebody out there, you know, that can help you. There's therapists all around within driving distance to be able to go see, talk about the things that's bothering you. And you will be surprised. I was. Man, when I first, you know, I went to therapy as a young boy, but then later in my life, I thought, man, I don't really need that. I can figure this out, or there's nothing wrong with me. But man, you know, when you finally go sit down with somebody and say, all right, I'm going to do this, I'm going to give it a shot. It's really interesting how they can help you see the world from a different perspective, understand someone else's challenges, not be so selfish about certain things, not be so hard on yourself about certain things. But what I learned in therapy over the course of my life is really, really helped me. And so whenever I feel like that I need that tune-up, right, I need to go get that service, I need to go get a hold of some things or sort some things out, or I'm having a tough time managing an issue on my own, That's where I go to get that sorted out. So anyways, just wanted to draw a little, shine a little light on that. NASCAR history and heritage come alive at the NASCAR Hall of Fame. Celebrate my fellow inductees Donnie Allison, Jimmy Johnson, and Chad Knaus with their class of 2024 artifacts enshrined in the Hall of Honor. Don't miss the Ford Performance Showcase. It's a new Inside NASCAR exhibit that showcases the Ford Mustang's next-gen car through its design and innovation. The latest edition of Glory Road explores over 75 years of racing history with its cool 33-degree banking and 19 cars on display. On Mondays and Fridays, there's guided tours that take you behind the scenes with incredible stories and access to a NASCAR Hall of Fame insider. Or you can explore the hall at your own pace with the new mobile hub. It's a digital experience. Get behind the wheel of a realistic iRacing simulator. Or you can learn how fast-paced pit stops work with the Pit Crew Challenge. From the legends who shaped the sport to the new heroes earning a spot in the record books, the NASCAR Hall of Fame delivers an unforgettable experience. Book your visit to the hall today at NASCARHall.com. So this past Saturday was, actually Sunday, was Isla's fifth birthday, my daughter Isla, and we had a party on Saturday. Before the party, though, man, I want to tell you about this. Did we talk about the slip and slide?
No.
On here. So everybody, you know, who hadn't went down a slip and slide in their time?
Whew. Who hasn't been injured on a slip and slide?
Injured? Hell goodness. Yeah. All right. So we're going to do a slip and slide. Friends are coming over. This wasn't on the birthday party, but this is a week or two ago. And I got to tread very lightly here.
Okay.
I don't want to say anything. Gets me in trouble. We may have to have Amy come back. We'll see.
What'd you do?
To be determined. I don't want to have to. I'm not intentionally doing things to bring Amy back in here every Thursday, but I just got to say, man, we get a slip and slide. I get this thing out. It's rather short, you know, in my opinion. You know, I think slip and slides should be, I don't know, 30 feet long, at least, you know, something like that. This thing's short. All right. Okay. Just gets down a hill from here to the door, not far at all. I'm thinking, well, you know, they're going to end up in the yard at the end of this thing. It's going to mess up the yard, get a little muddy down there, and let's get a tarp. So I get a big tarp and put it at the end of the slip and slide. That's neither here nor there. But anyway, so I extend the length of this thing. Perfect. They go down the slide. I got it turned on. They're going down. And Isla goes down at one time and walked back up the side of the slip and slide in the grass, and an ant got her and went up her leg and bit her. Like that. Just like that. And, I mean, it's been 2 damn minutes. And this ant bite is a serious problem. She's crying. We got to go inside. We are done with the slip and slide. Now, her friends played with it another 5, 10, 20 minutes max.
Wow.
And then that's it. I had to fold it all back up. And it's just sitting off on the side of the yard now. But hey, I'm going to do that thing.
Bring it here. We'll use it. I love slip and slides.
God.
Alex, you do a slip and slide.
I love slip and slides.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, I mean, I like where your head's at. I don't think you're a man unless you immediately think on how can I extend this slip and slide. And if you did it right, you did it on a hill. Yeah. Now, I know. You had
I'm
kids.
I'm just saying, look, you know what? I'm not upset at Isla. I'm not upset with anything, anyone. But every day I get up and I look out there at that slip and slide folded up on the side of the damn yard, and it angers me for some reason.
You feel like you wasted a good slip and slide?
I'm like, I want to throw that damn thing in the trash. That's not what I need to do, though, is it, Mike?
No, don't throw it away. You're bringing up a point. I think I'm tracking with what you're putting down. Because, see, could it be this? Could it be this that's bothering you? Mm-hmm. You know, my kids have bikes.
Yeah.
We would spend all day on our bike, you know, back in the days, right?
Yeah.
You know, you'd put the cans on the wheels to make the motorcycle sound.
You'd
do stuff to your spot. You'd doll it up. You'd accessorize it, whatever it is. Your bike was everything.
Yeah.
I can't get mine to go out there for more than 5 minutes and ride these dang things.
I got tricycles and shit just sitting idle and in the driveway.
And that bugs me. Now, is it? It's like, wait a second. Isla doesn't recognize the slip and slide was a rite of passage. The slip and slide was one of the all-time great toys. It's almost like looking at a big wheel and going, eh, that doesn't look interesting enough. Wait, whoa, there's some toys.
To Isla's credit, now, had the aunt not bit her, I think she'd have went up and down that damn thing. We'd have been playing there for a while. But you're definitely tracking on the right path. I got tricycles sitting in the yard.
Unused.
Touched.
Right. Right.
What is that?
Yeah, it's unacceptable.
Rusting away. The other thing too, man. I mean, so Isla has a birthday. We're getting all kinds of toys and she's into she's watching Gabby's Dollhouse. She's into Gabby's Dollhouse. It's a cartoon.
Okay.
So into the house. You know, we had friends come over. It was awesome. A lot of her schoolmates. So I'm talking to parents that I'm kind of getting to know for the first time. I see them in the hall at the school when we pick the kids up, but we ain't never hung out at a birthday party. So this is awesome. We're having some beers. The kids are playing. We got a bouncy house. Everything about that was awesome. All of the toys that come, whether I don't care, my sister brings them. The toys that we have given Isla for her birthday, they have all these tiny little freaking pieces that end up everywhere.
Mm.
Oh man, the anxiety. There's a dollhouse and it comes with, let's just say, teacups and plates and seats and stools and all the things that you would do to furnish a dollhouse, and in freaking one 24-hour period, that shit is strewn from one end of the house to the next.
Yeah.
It ain't nowhere near the dollhouse. It's no longer part of the fucking dollhouse experience.
Oh.
Now we just got shit. I don't know. I mean,
cussing mad.
I just don't know how to manage my frustrations over that.
Are you talking about pieces that just, like, you know, in the dollhouse there's a set of teacups? Or are you talking about pieces that you have to, need to put together?
No. The little teacups.
Just all the stuff that comes
all
with it.
All the little teeny things that come with it.
Right.
End up carried away and over here and in this room and underneath the couch and and on the coffee table.
Yep.
And I'm like, no. Like, my mind goes, if I see this shit and it ain't near the dollhouse or in the dollhouse, I'm putting it in the trash. I know that's wrong. Wow. I feel bad for even feeling that way.
Yeah. Overreach.
Well, they ain't never going to look at the teacup sitting in the laundry room and go, oh, that belongs in my playhouse in my room. Let me take it there.
I had a situation. We've got my kids a kitchen set, and my hot dog, one of the plastic hot dogs was in my toolbox.
I'm not picking the hot dog up and putting it back.
No.
I'm throwing this damn thing away. They obviously don't care that it's there. They're not missing it.
Until they know that you threw it away.
They never do. What do you do, parents? I want to know, because, damn it, If it was up to me, now I don't throw this stuff away because Amy does not prefer that. Amy wants, Amy's like you. Like they're gonna wonder where the teacup is one day.
Yeah, one day they're not gonna have the whole set. They're gonna wonder where it is.
I don't believe that is the case, but Amy doesn't want to throw it away in case they do say, "Hey, man, where's the parts to all this?"
Remember what Nicole was doing on that FaceTime when she was like, "Where's my chicken nuggets?" And you're like, "The dog ate them."
Yeah.
And she's like, "Well, where's my chicken nugget?" And you're like, "They're gone. The dog ate them." That'll be the way it is with the teacup or whatever it is, that accessory. One day they're going to come ask for them. You're going to say, "It's gone." And they're going to not be able to process that. And they're going to be like, "Well, find it." And you're like, "I can't find it. It's gone."
Vacuumate it.
That's the other thing.
Yeah.
I don't like stepping on the dang little toys.
Well, I mean, that's obvious. With that kind of thing there. Yeah. But I mean, that's how I find them most times, is like I kick something or step on it.
Are your girls into Legos? Yeah.
Not yet.
Oh, yeah. Step on one of them things.
Well, of course. I mean, everybody, that's a common thing that people complain about, is stepping on Legos, how uncomfortable it is. But I truly need to figure out how to manage the frustrations over this, because I don't like little laying everywhere. I like things to look clean, organized. I like stuff to go where it goes. You know, this is how the 10-millimeter socket gets lost. This is how the quarter-inch wrench gets lost. This is how.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
So
I think you need therapy. I think you have mental health problems.
Honestly, I promise you, if I could sit on that couch with a therapist right now, in 10 minutes, I'd have this figured out.
It's Dexter coming up.
But I'm going to carry this shit around all day.
Right? You will.
Anyways, the birthday party was really, really good. Isla is now 5. I can't even believe that. We are now at the age where it's time, Mike, to plan the trip.
What does that mean?
Where do you go when your kid turns 5?
Like a daddy-daughter trip?
No.
A vacation?
Family.
Family trip?
Everybody. Where do you go?
Oh.
Come on, man. This is the place.
Disney.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You going?
It's time.
It's time.
Time to get serious about that.
They'll love it.
Oh, yeah. Now, I think Isla has been there for, like, we did a half a day, but she was 2. We were a stroller. We went into the, what is that one that scares the shit out of them when they're too young? It's a Small World or no? It's, there's one ride. You go in, you sit in a teacup or something, you kind of go through this little cavernous dark area, but it's supposed to be cartoony, but it's a bit morbid. It's a Small World.
I've never heard of It's a Small World scaring anybody.
It's one of those.
Things are singing to you the whole
time.
It's
one of those. Amy would remember it immediately.
Yeah.
But we took Isla, and she's clinging to my ass like something's coming to get her, which I liked. You know, it's getting free hugs. But
Haunted Mansion?
No. We would not do that. This is a kid's ride. This is literally for
Space
like
Mountain.
Toddlers. And it obviously, you know, it's like a 50-50 chance whether they're going to love it or be bat scared over it. Anyways, yeah, it's time for us to get serious about this trip. Isla needs to go. I think 5 is the right age. Of course, Nicole's going to go as well, but we'll make a return trip when she gets old enough. 5 is that, hey, they're old enough to get it. They're old enough to do stuff, see stuff, I want to
meet princesses.
Yeah.
Princesses. That's right. Is that right?
Yeah. And they know they who they that. Are.
Right.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right. We
5
did all
is
that.
The age. Yeah. It's on.
Yeah.
I can't wait. I got some great news about the Cars Tour.
Okay.
Yeah. We had great viewership for our Hickory show.
Nice.
It ran a little late, but we had some really, really good numbers for that. I am so excited about the growth and excitement around the Cars Tour. I know that we're going to have in our Thursday show, we'll do that short. We'll do that grassroots recap with Hannah. But just wanted to mention to everybody, remind everybody, Ace Speedway is coming up this weekend. Ace Speedway is on a Friday night on Flow for the Cars Tour. And that is the last race before we go to North Wilkesboro, where I'll be racing the Sundrop car again. And the Sundrop car is going to be out there along with maybe around close to a half dozen Cup regulars, some with championship trophies in their homes.
Mm.
And they're all going to be competing against some of the best in the Cars Tour for late model stock. And our pro class is going to be there as well. So our pro series, man, is growing. I'm excited about that. We had so many cars. We had 72 cars come to Hickory between the two classes. Hickory was banging, man. It was awesome. Full crowd in attendance. All kinds of people tuning in on Flow at home. There's good momentum in the Cars Tour. Ace this weekend and Friday, and then we're going to North Wilkesboro on May 17th, I believe.
And which one is Kenny Wallace going to race?
Kenny is going to race at Tri-County on Memorial Day weekend. So Kenny's coming into town to work the Charlotte race. He's going to do that Trackside Live show they're bringing back. Marcus Smith is having Kenny come to Charlotte Motor Speedway that morning on Sunday. Well, the night before, Saturday, right around the same time the Cup cars will be practicing at Charlotte Motor Speedway, Tri-County is going to be holding a 30,000-to-win Cars Tour event.
Mm.
It's our biggest race as far as payment for the winner. It's about an hour and 20 minutes from Charlotte Motor Speedway, just past Hickory, up 40. And hopefully, people that are in town for the 600 might venture over to Tri-County for a little short track action and see Kenny Wallace go up against our best in the Cars Tour.
Man, that would be so much fun. I do hope people do that. I have noticed, I don't know if it's just because I'm surrounded by you people that, or my social media timelines. I just follow the right people. But there seems to be this palpable excitement about the Cars Tour that I've just, you know, between you, Jeff Burton is doing a lot of evangelizing, which is so cool. And there's, I can see results.
Yeah.
Like there's a general excitement about this tour.
I agree, man. It's we got a long way to go before we get to where we want to be, but there's some good excitement. Listen, Cars Tour has been doing some great things for over a decade now, and it's great to see it continuing to grow. So, with that, do we want to jump into some Ask Junior?
Yes, we can.
All right, let's do it. Hey, Dirty Mo listeners, this is Dylan Hart Jr. It's May, and you know what that means. The Indianapolis 500 is just around the corner. Thankfully, we have Speed Street with IndyCar racer Connor Daly and comedian Joey Molinaro. They're going to get us ready to go. Follow Speed Street so you never miss an episode, and get ready for the greatest spectacle in racing, the Indianapolis 500.
All right, we are live.
Hey, everybody. Hold on one sec. Sending a text message to my buddy.
Well, we're going to send it live.
Yeah, he's asking me if I'm going to ride my bike later today, and I'm letting him know I'm probably going to be podcasting.
Mm.
And just a courteous text. Tony Jr. asked me if there was any testing at North Wilkesboro coming up for the late model stock supers or the pros, but there is no testing scheduled. We're going to go right into the race when we go there for, I think, May 17th. Let me see. We were just talking about this on the show. Yeah, May 17th is the Cars Tour late model stock event at North Wilkesboro. I believe tickets are still available. On the 16th is the super late models and on Tuesday. And the 17th is the pro and the Cars Tour late model stocks. The truck race is the 19th or maybe the 20th. Anyways, that weekend's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to be there for most of it.
We're going to podcast from there.
We are?
Yeah.
Yes, we are. Yeah.
I'm
certain we'll be doing some fun things. Since we got a practice on Tuesday, yeah, it'll be tough for us to get to the studios. You guys are going to have to come to me.
No problem.
All right?
No problem.
Anyways, Ask Junior is being presented to you today by Xfinity. Xfinity is a proud premier partner of NASCAR. We know that. And they also have this 10G network.
Yeah.
Like, they just shot past everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Forget 6, 7, 8, 9. went right to 10. And they're killing it, man. Xfinity does a lot for the sport. They do a lot for us here at the Dale Jr. Download. And we're proud to be partners with them. If you don't have Xfinity Internet, you need to give it a shot. If you're kind of wondering or struggling with what you got. I've had it. I've been a customer. I bought it years ago or a couple years ago. We talked about it on this show many, many times. And I've never had a problem, man. I have it at a remote location, so I need to see cameras on there all the time, and I use my phone. Never once has my internet went down. I hate that, man. You'll have that internet where you got to go reboot the router and stuff. Nobody else can do it. You're not there. You can't see your cameras until you get over there and fix it. It's such a pain in the butt. Never had that problem with Xfinity.
There you go.
And anyways, let's go.
All right. First question is, hey, Dale, how cool was it meeting Neil deGrasse Tyson and doing his podcast? I found it to be a neat crossover.
Come again?
Neil deGrasse Tyson?
Yeah.
Do his podcast?
Where did I meet him? I don't know. I met him somewhere in an event we were both going to. He was invited to an event, so was I. And I'd recognized him and knew who he was. And he asked me if I wanted to go on his show. And we were talking about racing and physics and NASCAR, and he was asking me about, you know, certain things in our sport. And so I thought, yeah, it'd be cool. Let's do it. So we ended up going on there. I enjoyed it. Guy's super cool, super nice. And he's way smarter than I am.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's usually the smartest guy in the room.
All right, this next one is, based on your new experiences with Amy and Mike's courageous battle through the Grand Canyon, what is something both of you have always wanted to do but haven't gotten the chance to do?
Me and Mike?
Or both of you guys individually or together?
Well, one thing I'd love to do, haven't got the chance to do. I think for me, broadcasting the Daytona 500
mm-hmm.
would be one thing I'd love to do once. Also, owning a car and pushing it out to the grid for the Daytona 500.
Oh, yeah. That'd be
pushing
cool.
A car out to the grid. This is my car. I'm in the Daytona 500. we're gonna win this thing. We're gonna win this, like, you know, talking to it
like Harry Hogg.
Harry Hogg, yeah.
Yeah.
I got you a special mesh set of tires.
I'm gonna shape you like a bullet.
Yep.
That's funny.
Mike?
I could totally see Dale talking to his car.
Yeah. Damn right.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
Do you have anything?
This is anything, right?
Like anything.
Anything. I mean, my bucket list right now at the top, I want to go to Israel. I want to go to, yeah, that's just me personally.
Okay. Now you opened my mind up a little bit.
Yeah, traveling. Yeah, right.
Traveling too. I want to go, I went to Germany to learn about the Earnhardts, and I want to go to England to learn about the GE family, my mother's side.
Yep.
That would be fun to go. I know kind of where they originated from, and yeah, it'd be cool to go there.
Nice, awesome. Mm-hmm. Based on the race yesterday, with Martin Truex Jr. and James Small, they got into a little yelling match during the race, and then he went on to win. So, Dale, can you remember any infamous, you know, kind of screaming matches you have with your crew chief?
Are you kidding me?
Every week?
Did it end up positively like maybe, Martin's? Or
Yes. Still, I remember him.
Okay. Me and Tony Jr. would sound and fight exactly like that. I mean, you know, Tony Jr. and I were we're like brothers, and when we were, the funny thing about it is, back in 2004, we were still of the mentality that really no one else was listening to us. You know,
mm-hmm.
We didn't have, scanners were a thing, but social media, apps for NASCAR where you can really just mash a button and start listening. None of that existed, right? And so even if we did yell at each other, cuss, rarely did it become a thing. Rarely did it become this public thing. Fans would hear it, maybe chatter about it on web, you know, message boards and stuff like that, but that was about as far as it got. Maybe a writer might comment about it, but they weren't tweeting about it, right? There wasn't, none of that stuff existed. And so we felt like we had freedom to be like, hey, man, you're an idiot. I hate this call you made, or fix this freaking car. This car's a piece of crap. I'm trying my ass off. We would get into it, and you had to. God, Almighty, you're so angry. You know, you're hot. You're miserable. You're fighting this car every freaking corner. You know, going in the next corner is going to do the same stupid thing again, and you're mad about this. And you're like, come on, man. I've been telling you for 200 laps. Fix this thing. And he's like, I've been listening to you for 200 laps. Shut up. I'm tired of listening to you. We're trying. We try things. We try some stuff. We got some new stuff we're going to try. Shut up. Wait till the pit stop. You know? And so I'm getting back in that motion, you know, the motion just thinking about it. And it was fun. It wasn't not fun. It was necessary. Like, I was talking to Jeb Burton. So Rubbins Racing on Twitter put out this video of me cussing. They're like, Dale Jr., 75 greatest drivers. This is the version of him that they must prefer, me cussing and carrying on. And Jeb Burton sent that to me laughing, and he said, man, it feels so good to push that button. And he's right. Like, man, I tried yelling into the middle distance, right, without gnashing the button on the steering wheel. It's not as good. It doesn't really – it just doesn't do the same thing, right, when no one hears it, right?
Yeah.
And so, you got to mash that button and cuss the guy in front of you or some other driver on the track, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it. Regarding the Ross Chastain and Brendan Poole, Kyle Larson thing, this next question is, when do you think I'm sorry is not good enough for Ross to get away with it?
Yeah. I do believe that Ross has remorse over that, but I don't know that he knows any other way to drive. You know, what he did was not good. What he did was a mistake. He admitted it. But I don't know that he knows any other way to race or approach a race or drive, or I don't know that he knows any other way to be behind the wheel, right? Driver's race. No, you know, you can't expect all drivers to jump in a car and everyone go out there and drive identical. you take everything with you. You take your personality, you take your mental approach, you take whatever's bothering you that day, you take, you know, you got up on the wrong side or the right side of the bed. All that shit goes into that car with you when you strap in to race. And you have good days and bad days. You have good mental state, bad mental state. All of that is going to come out. You see body language. When you're out there racing on the track with other cars, you see body language and you see anger and frustration, and you see a guy who's on a mission and a guy who's just ready to freaking get this race over with. You can tell the way they're making moves and what they're doing with their cars. And some people and most drivers are very consistent in what you see from them, right? And that's just how Ross races. We raced him in the Xfinity Series, Mike. And man, if you run around him enough and bang into him enough, you know, he starts banging back into you and he doesn't let it go. Remember him, it was at Watkins Glen a couple years ago, him and Allgaier. That was their whole goal. The whole race was just to get each other back. Somebody had to get the last laugh. And, you know, that's Ross's, that's who he is. That's how he's going to be. I think that he genuinely does have remorse for what happened, because he used to drive for those teams. Not that specific team, maybe, but, like, you know, he used to drive those type of cars. He used to show up and hustle it in those back marker cars, and he knows what those teams are trying to accomplish and what they're doing and what they're up against. You know, I think. I don't know what to tell you. The other thing I gotta say is I don't want Ross to change. I'm not saying I love what he's doing. I love him wrecking people, all, you know, and making mistakes. But gosh, if somebody's not doing the things that Ross is doing, God, can we get a few more of those guys? Can we get some more people out there making mistakes? You know, it's a great race. I enjoyed the Dover race. But, you know, that moment with Ross was very entertaining.
Can I just add to that? Kyle Larson brought up an interesting point, and I agree with him. It's like nothing ever negative happens to Ross. He does these things, but he keeps on going, and he dang sure about wins a race every time. However, Kyle Larson did introduce a new way of getting to Ross. Maybe you don't have to kick his butt, like, you know, these drivers that have no intention of doing anything actually say after a race, but he did very much disrupt Ross's chance to catch Martin, and he was coming. He could have really caught Truex yesterday, but Kyle Larson did pay him back in a way that I did think that, you know, is completely fair, and he didn't even admit to it, but we all know what he was doing. He was totally making it hard on him, and so I thought, while Kyle Larson said he never suffers anything negative, he kind of did yesterday, and it was thanks to Kyle Larson.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I think that Ross will have the record for being threatened to have his ass whooped
without actually having
his ass whooped.
Right.
He's going to have that record this year. I know of two off the top of my head, but I'm sure there's one or two more.
Just this year there's been two. Right. Yeah, for sure.
I don't like what he did. I think it was wrong. I thought it was equally as entertaining what Larson did to beat his progress late in the race. Ross did the mistake he made, wrecking pool, brought us to that moment, which was also equally entertaining. I mean, it's part of the drama in the show, right? If Ross doesn't make that mistake and Ross becomes the Squire boy, we lose all that.
Yeah.
Not that we love what he did, but do we want to lose it?
Yeah. Is actions detrimental? I know this because Denny taped last night at 9:00, but is actions detrimental out right now? So Denny, producer Travis told us, I said, what did Denny have to say about that? And he says, it's interesting. Denny said that what Ross did to Brendan was not too different than what Denny did to J.J. Yaley.
Yeah.
He goes, it was kind of the same thing. The only difference is that Ross has a track record of continually doing these things and has a history of it.
Yeah.
So he didn't think he did that on purpose, of course.
Yeah.
The way Denny didn't do that on purpose, but, you know, you just start to develop a reputation.
That's another, you know, I hate to do this, man, but I would love to see the throttle trace on Pool's car I'd love to see the throttle trace from many laps before and that lap. I know he was racing the three for position. Maybe, you know, maybe he lifted a little sooner than Ross expected. But, I mean, yeah, Ross wrecked the shit out of him. He drove through him. It's absolutely Ross's responsibility not to do that in that moment. But what? Why did that happen? You know, Ross didn't mean to do it, but how did he end up running in the back of this guy getting into the corner? Just a mistake and trying to learn the, trying to learn particulars about exactly what throttle and all that, how that all happened might help answer some questions as to how that mistake came about. But honestly, man, you know, Ross has a mentality that he takes inside the car that is his, and his, it's unique. And, you know, we give him a lot of airtime. We talked about him all last year. We've talked about him ever since he came in the Cup Series. We've criticized him. We've, you know, I think that as much as we are critical and talk about all the things he does, I really don't want him to do anything different. I don't want Ross to change it, how he's racing and what he does. I wouldn't like to be out there and be mixed up in some of the things that happens. I wouldn't want to be Larson in that scenario at all. But, you know, as a viewer and a broadcaster and a fan of the race, you got to have guys like that.
Yeah.
You got to have people out there that are going to make those mistakes or race people a certain way and mix it up a little bit, make it entertaining, make it interesting.
Yeah. I think that's a good way to end Ask Junior.
All right. Yeah, we went long on a couple of answers there. Sorry about that. So if we didn't get your question, I'm certain we missed some great questions today. Appreciate everybody tuning in. We had a great episode going. We're going to wrap it up here. But
tell them real quick, Denny Hamlin Bracket Challenge is now available.
Let me do that.
Yeah.
So
while we're still live.
Yeah, let me go. All right. So it's happening right now, right?
Yeah, yeah, it's out.
All right, so it's out right now. Go to DirtyMoMedia.com. Look for the Denny Hamlin Bracket Challenge. Denny's talked about this on his social media, and now it is happening. It's real. It starts today. It started at 10 a.m. The cutoff is right before the start of Sunday's Kansas race, so you need to get your bracket filled out fully before that race starts this weekend at Kansas. It's a five-week bracket, driver versus driver. You pick who you think is going to beat who each and every week. Pay attention to the racetracks as we go from week to week, and you're picking your drivers, and you'll fill out your bracket. I have William Byron winning this five-week bracket over Ross Chastain. Wasn't intentional. That's how it worked out. I don't know how all y'all are going to feel y'all's out. Good luck running second to me. I don't get to win the prize, apparently, because I'm somehow involved.
You're ineligible.
Yeah, ineligible somehow, some way, which isn't fair. But anyways, I reckon it'll go to second place. Mike has submitted his bracket as well. I noticed you filled one out, and you spelled your name intentionally wrong, which is
I know.
Weird.
I didn't
you
know
did
that
some
that
kind
was,
of weird thing.
Yeah.
That was so weird.
Yeah, I know it was weird. I have decisions in my life that I regret, and that was one of them.
Yeah. Mine auto-filled.
It did?
Yeah. Mr. Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That was weird.
Hey, I'm weird. I am weird, dude.
You are weird.
Yeah. So, anyways, Denny Hamlin's Bracket Challenge. This thing right here is going to blow up. This is going to be the way we find entertainment and fun and new joy in watching every single race, because now we're watching positional battles between drivers. I can't wait to do this with everybody Sunday. I don't know where I'm going to be. The Derby is Saturday, right? Is the Derby Saturday?
Derby Saturday.
Yeah. So I'll be sitting at home enjoying
good.
This.
Yeah.
Great. I can't wait. That's going to be fun. Denny Hamlin's Bracket Challenge on DirtyMoMedia.com. Just go to the social media handles for Dirty Mo Media. Denny's probably tweeting about it as well. It's easy to find. Make sure you hit the big orange button. What does it say?
Big orange button.
What does it say? Fill out your bracket.
Yeah, I don't know.
Enter here or some
click here to
enter. Enter. Yeah. I missed it. on an iPad, it's a small button. On a phone, it's really big. But don't forget to hit that first. All right, everybody. A lot of fun today. Talked about a lot of different things, and I hope y'all enjoyed it. This is kind of what I like this show to be, just a catch-all for whatever the hell's going on. Tomorrow, we got a really cool guest coming in here. Bill Davis, car owner in the Cup Series for many, many years, and in the Xfinity Series as well, successful in both, but had a rather interesting exit from the sport, if you will. We haven't seen him in a long time. Can't wait to talk to him. He'll be on the show tomorrow, and obviously the Thursday wrap-up show. Don't forget that. Everybody seems to be enjoying that. Hopefully you have some more games to play. But anyways, everybody have a great day this Tuesday, and May the 2nd, we'll see you tomorrow. Check out Dirty Mo Media. Check out Dirty Mo Media. Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram.